This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. On Friday at the G20, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Chinese President Xi Jinping shook hands and greeted each other at an informal meeting of BRIC nations, that is Brazil, Russia, India, China and South Africa. While the two leaders were reported exchanging words of praise in their speeches, their respective forces stationed along their border have been in an eyeball-to-eyeball standoff for the past 4 weeks. The event that sparked the tensions happened when Indian troops stopped Chinese engineers from extending a border road through a plateau known as Doklam in India or Donglang in China. That happened last month. On the line, we have Bun Negara, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. Bun, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to begin with the question of the India-China tensions over the border. We know these are not new, they're not uncommon, but should the rest of the world be worried about this particular conflict because it's lasted so long?
Well, not so much the rest of the world, but mainly China and India itself. And most of all, Bhutan, which you have not mentioned, because the disputed territory is actually part of Bhutan. But India has seen itself as a kind of big brother to Bhutan, a kingdom in the Himalayas, for some several decades now. And it doesn't help when some Indian sources, have said that this Doklam territory is said part of part of India, but it's not.
I understand that because the respective countries see many of their border disputes from very different perspectives, and that's probably resulted in why these border disputes have remained for such a long time. I think in this particular instance and of this particular area that we're talking to, it actually goes back to 1962 and the border wars then. I mean, why is it that countries, in this instance, China and India have been so incapable of resolving border disputes?
Well, as you know, the border tiffs have been happening between China and India, two big neighbors, for a long time. But that's mainly because of the border that they have between them. It's a considerable border. But in the case of Bhutan, it's particularly interesting and worrying for both of them, especially for Bhutan, because both India and China seem to see the territory as of strategic importance to them. It is of a certain elevation and therefore of sites and being able to for reconnaissance and so on. So it's a bit like Kashmir between India and Pakistan. It's strategic.
Now, I understand that it currently India has the upper hand in this particular territory, that it controls the, as it was, you said, the higher elevation. And this would be a pass that would allow India to retaliate against China in the event of any kind of war situation, and also one which the Chinese are at a disadvantage. Would that be correct in sort of characterizing the particular standoff?
That's part of it. But I think an important part also is that, as I said, Bhutan is seen as a kind of younger brother that needs protection from India, particularly because of following China's actions in Tibet about half a century or so ago. Since the 50s, Bhutan had sought closer links with India as a kind of informal protector or something, in case anything were to happen to it. And now this is happening, and therefore, India feels compelled to sort of act in response. So this is something based on an informal understanding between Bhutan and India.
Now, I understand also that, according to the Indian Home Ministry, there have been some 334 transgressions, I use air quotes there, transgressions by Chinese troops over the Indian border in the first 216 days of this year. And that what we see also, according to observers, is a departure in terms of a practice. Indian security forces are now more aggressively controlling these border areas against, what is seen as the line of actual control of the LAC, the de facto border. Why do you think that India is changing its practice in terms of border security?
In this particular case in Doklam, it's as I said, the relationship between Bhutan and India plays an important part. Now, there have been for years now, as you mentioned, there has been negotiations between Bhutan and China on this, and it really comes as a surprise to Bhutan and also India as well that China should make these inroads, literally inroads, because the PLA, the People's Liberation Army of China, has been building roads in a disputed area, one of which actually moves towards in the direction of the Bhutan army base. So, you know, this was totally unexpected, especially when, you know, negotiations have been ongoing between Bhutan and China. And there have been negotiations for 30-plus years now, and almost a meeting a year on average. So, you know, this was unexpected, and, you know, Bhutan obviously feels quite helpless in this.
Now, just sort of, I keep sort of framing in terms of India and China, and I know you're kind of insistent on pulling Bhutan into the story. But let's look at this this particular issue between China and India in terms of larger geopolitical tensions. Because there's talk some years ago that under Narendra Modi, India is being drawn into the American view of China, and in terms of containing China, also concerns about China's One Belt, One Road project, seen especially in terms of the building of ports around the Indian subcontinent as somehow China encircling India. Do you think the Obor project and concerns about China's ambitions are animating some of Narendra Modi's government's actions in terms of these particular events?
Well, it appears that way. Unfortunately, this kind of thing has a kind of mutually reciprocal relationship that's, you know, escalating, and a vicious cycle kind of arrangement, which is, you know, quite inadvertent. So what we have here is that, you know, it's a bit like the One Belt, One Road, now renamed Belt and Road Initiative, to make it look less unilateral on the part of China. In the case of BRI, or Belt and Road Initiative, the relationship between India and China has also not been very good, because part of the BRI involves disputed territory between India and Pakistan. And that involves the CPEC, CPEC, China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. And again, that raises the specter of excessively close relations, apparently, between China and Pakistan for India. So this plays into the long-term rivalry between India and Pakistan. So even in the naming of projects, we can see that there has been perhaps a lack of sensitivity on the part of Chinese planners. They could have done it better. And that, and now in Beijing, apparently, there has been thinking of renaming the CPEC to make it sound less China-Pakistan based.
We also have this question of Narendra Modi's own orientation. He's recently visited the State of Israel, something I don't believe any Indian Prime Minister has done. And also in his sort of warming up to Trump, I believe that a lot of the talk about Narendra Modi, or India rather, aligning itself with the U.S. against China happened during the time of the Obama administration. Now we have a situation of the Trump administration. Do you think that India's plans in terms of its own position geopolitically will change because Trump is a slightly wild card compared to the Obama administration's plans?
I think the wild card factor in the Trump administration could be a factor to encourage closer India-China relations, because I think very few, if any, serious people in India actually think that there can be a long-term alliance between India and the U.S. India is a non-aligned country. And, you know, it's unlikely to be aligned to any party or any power, and much less, you know, against a big neighbor like China. So it is probably New Delhi playing political games like everyone else. And so we are seeing these flutters. In fact, in the present standoff in Sikkim and Doklam, it's been said that the tensions escalated after Narendra Modi's meeting with Trump.
Thank you very much. That was Budi Negara, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. We'll be back with more business analysis after this at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.